This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
Did the news just end, taking me unawares? Why, yes, it appears that it did. Well, that was a rebroadcast of the evening news. Con informativo, el edición en español. And that means that it's midnight in New York City here on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. Oh, by the way, did you happen to catch that part about it being listener-supported and non-commercial? And you know what that means? It means that what's coming up is... this.
Moorish. Orthodox. Radio. Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news, only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
All right, well, here we are opening up on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade with some sounds of the Al-Nujum folklore Debka, right from New York City, Palestinian music from New York City. Picked this up at the Arab American Street Festival, just a few blocks from where I live, over on, is it Great Jones Street or is it Bond Street, one or the other, just off of Lafayette. They hold it every, when is it? In the spring, I think it is sometime. Anyway, picked it up there and told them I'd give it some airplay, and I'm doing so. And nobody will deny that the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade plays the very, very best music, because your tireless host, Bill Weinberg, has always got his ear to the ground and his nose to the air, sniffing out the very, very best music that the New York metropolitan area and greater surrounding universe has to offer. So that's why you listen, isn't it? Yes, that's why you listen, because you know that you can't resist it. You know that you are powerless to resist the absolutely perfect music that we play on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, because I, Bill Weinberg, have impeccable taste in music. I dare anybody, I defy anybody to deny this. 212-209-2950 is the number to show your appreciation. Yes, you knew that it was coming. I will also, point out that in addition to bringing you the best music in the known universe, this radio show also brings you the most... I'm not going to say the most astute analysis in the known universe, but definitely up there. So that's why we're asking you to show us your love tonight, those of you who are not already members. Show us your love by calling 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and just pledging a minimum of $25 to become a member of WBAI. That's the minimum that we're asking of those of you who are listening tonight who are not members, just to do exactly what our special guest for the evening, Robert Waddell, did.
Waddell.
Excuse me. One more time.
Robert Waddell.
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 Ah, welcome aboard, Robert Waddell.
How you doing, Bill? Good to hear. Good to see you today.
Into the mic.
How you doing, Bill? Good to see you today.
Right.
What's happening?
Well, so you just...
I just put down $25 to become a member of BAI. BAI is one of these things where you sort of take it for granted, but you appreciate everything that it does. And I think that it's very important for me to put my money where my mouth is, and to support BAI, because I believe in, I've listened to Democracy Now!, I've listened to your program, I've listened to a lot of other programs, and it's something that I truly believe in, and we need something that offsets a lot of the other so much of the other media. So
you just laid down your $25 to become a member.
Yes, I just laid down my $25 to become a member.
Which we greatly appreciate. Thank you very much.
And I'm very happy to do.
So it's incumbent upon the listeners who are not already members of this radio show but are listening to follow the example of Robert Waddell.
You know, this is the second day, 2 days ago, I made another donation to La Iglesia de San Romero de las Americas, which is a church that was started by Luis Barrios, who's a minister and who teaches at John Jay College. And it's a church that practices liberation theology. So money is our resource, and there's limited amounts of resources, so we should put it where it could do the best good. And I think if Iglesia San Romero de las Americas is doing a lot of good, and so is WBAI. So I'm very happy to take my energy, my talent, whatever I can, to put it into, you know, things that I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely believe in WBAI.
And where is the church?
The church is, it's a fundraiser, that they want to find a permanent place. It's meeting at the Alianza Dominicana on Amsterdam Avenue, way uptown 100 in Washington Heights, but they're looking for their own permanent space right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why they had the fun does Valentine's Day dance on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So it's just a great thing. I've been, reporter in New York covering Latino issues and Latino and Puerto Rican issues for the last 10 years. I started off working at the New York Times. I was a New York correspondent for Latino.com. I wrote for Siempre newspaper in El Barrio. I wrote for Tiempo. I wrote for Latin Week New York. And I've been writing for Virtual Boricua online, and I cover any kind of story, news stories, entertainment stories, anything dealing with Latinos.
Mm-hmm. And focusing a lot on community issues and in the South Bronx.
Definitely a lot of community issues, and definitely in the South Bronx, because I'm originally from the South Bronx and I still live in the Bronx. And I think that one of the things that I personally love to do is to concentrate on people that are not going to be talked about or read about in mainstream media. People who are actually doing something in the community, who've been community organizers for a long time and doing and working in the community, who are actually trying to do something, trying to do good for their community, for the world at large, and these people who don't get seen, who don't get any recognition, and who definitely need to get some play, who need to be written about.
Right. Well, that's certainly our raison d'etre here at WBAI in the broadcast medium. So, what are some of the recent stories that you've covered?
Well, there was one story. I work with the New York Community Media Alliance, and one of the stories I did is on dropouts. And basically, there are
high school dropouts.
High school dropouts, and they're huge. A lot of high school dropouts get pushed out. Students are supposed to stay in school legally until they're 21, but sometimes when they get older, when they get about 18 or 19, they get pushed out. So I wanted to take all these statistics, and
But usually people have graduated by the time they're.
Not everybody.
Not everybody.
Some people get left back.
Right.
Some people don't do so well.
You mean until 21 or until they graduate, whichever comes first.
Right, until they graduate or until 21, mm-hmm. But they have to. But they legally have a right to stay in school until they turn 21 years mm-hmm. of age, mm-hmm. and then they're cut loose. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they get pushed out beforehand, or they get this feeling. Well, you know, you're getting too old. You need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You need to. Which is pretty terrible when you're 17 or 18 or 19 to be told you're too old.
Well, who's telling them that when they're 17?
Guidance counselors, teachers, people who should be encouraging.
When they're 17?
Yeah, when they're 17. So what I wanted to do was.
But on the basis of what? I mean.
on the basis of their test scores, on the basis of the fact that they're getting too old, on the basis of the fact that they're...
But how is 17 too old? I can see that 19 is too old, but how is 17 too old?
Well, 17, if you're 17 years old and you're in the, still in the ninth grade or still in the 10th grade, that's a problem. So some, you know, or if you're, you know, if you're a young woman and you have, and you get pregnant or you have to leave school because you have to, or you're not doing so well in school because you have to go and work so you can support your family, or your English is not so well because you've come from either from the Caribbean or from Latin America, and these are the reasons some people fall
behind.
So
people are actually being pushed out by the bureaucracy.
Exactly,
you're saying.
Pushed out by the bureaucracy, and these are people who I wanted to put faces on. I wanted to take these students that I wanted to, you know, dropouts, the huge amount of dropouts. I wanted to say, you know, these are real people. Here are some of those real people. Here are some of the people who are trying to go back to school, who want to get their GEDs, who want to do, who live in the Bronx, who are interested in their own futures, who are not just some random number, you know, pulled out from somewhere, but that they're real human beings and they're real people, and they shouldn't be thought of as sort of these blank numbers. Because when you hear about these blank numbers, you think of it's, you know, you glaze over all these any number, you know, 20,000 people laid off, you know, it's sort of this thing that just sort of passes over you, but this real people, and it affects real human beings.
Putting a face on these statistics.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you actually interviewed some people who have sort of been...
I interviewed a lot of people.
Who've been sort of been forced out or lubricated out of the education system by the bureaucracy?
Yeah.
How did you find them?
I looked around. I asked around. There's some. I teach at my day job. I'm a teacher, so I know some of them. I know, they're very good people. And I found them. You know, I interviewed them over the course of a few months, and I was able to get a good mix of people. Someone who went to one student who she had left school because she wanted to work. And then she saw that not having an education was hurting her. So she quit her job. She went, and then she went back to school, and she dropped back in, and she went back to her old school, and she eventually got her high school diploma. Another young woman who left school because she's having a baby. She's having a baby, and basically she was told, she had to go. One young man who was basically living on the streets, or not living on the streets, hustling on the streets, and he saw so many people go to jail or die.
Hustling on the streets meaning prostitution?
No, I mean selling drugs.
Selling drugs.
I should be clear about my hustling terminology. He was selling drugs, and then his sister was having a baby. The baby died, and then the sister had complications, and she died of a heart attack.
Ooh.
the very next day.
Ouch.
And he was really, you know, this made him reflect on his life and what he was doing, what he wasn't doing. He bumped into a couple of his, two of his cousins who were going to a GED program, and he enrolled. And he's working on getting his, high school diploma and getting his college diploma, getting his associate's.
So you did a feature story on this.
A feature story on this phenomenon.
Yeah, that's going to appear in Virtual Barriqua,
It has. It's already online. So if anybody wants to go and take a look at it, they're more than welcome to. Virtual Barriqua. I think that there are a lot of really terrific stories that happen in the Bronx, in the South Bronx, in the northwest part of the Bronx. And there are, you know, there are lots of people who are, you know, who have stories to tell, who are working in the community, who are doing things that are, you know, not going to be on the nightly news and not going to be on, you know, the covers of the New York Times.
Well, you should get involved in BAI in a more ongoing and permanent capacity. I would argue the news department perhaps could use your work.
That'd be great. Yeah. I would love to. Yeah. I would love to do that.
This is really an era of media contraction, unfortunately. I mean, we always complain about, how the media is corporate controlled and tilted to the right and all that. And of course we know all that. But, tool of the establishment, blah, blah, blah. But now we've actually got a much bigger problem because the corporations are radically, radically, radically cutting back, particularly where the printed word is concerned, as a result of this economic downturn.
You want to hear something funny? Long time ago, I used to work at the New York Times, and I visited the new building, and I just wanted to see some old friends. I wanted to see, it was soulless before. It's even more soulless now. But everyone was nervous because there was an article in the Atlantic Monthly about the death of print journalism.
Yep.
Everybody was afraid about what the state of their newspaper, whether or not the New York Times is going anywhere, whether or not they're going to have any jobs. But I don't think the New York Times is going anywhere. I don't think they're going to have any. I don't know. I'm not sure what the strategy is, but I don't think the New York Times is going anywhere.
Well, I mean, I don't think that the New York Times is in danger of ceasing publication. I think that it's one of the few newspapers in this country which is ultimately safe. It's going to keep publishing. Probably the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, the Chicago Tribune, the Boston Globe, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the Miami Herald. I would say these are the newspapers in this country which are not in danger of ceasing publication. But ultimately, the rest are. And already, the rest they've gotten a lot thinner. And increasingly, they haven't got, they haven't got their own staff doing reportage anymore. And particularly where international reportage is concerned, they just run wire copy. So it's the same material which is being run in all of these publications now. So it's becoming more and more homogenous as they actually cut back on their editorial staff and reporters. And that, in fact, has affected the New York Times. The New York Times has just let go of the Metro section, as we know. The Metro section just this year has now been folded into Section 1. There's no more Metro section. There's like a New York section in Section 1, which means not only is there less New York news, but it's also squeezing out more of the international news, which, had been in those pages. So even the New York Times has, cut back on their actual reportage. Not to mention, Newsday has been gutted. Newsday used to be a great hometown newspaper, even though, it's published out in Long Island, but it was a real sort of fighting New York City newspaper, its city edition. And also did some really, they didn't cover the entire world as consistently as the New York Times does, but they did a lot of really cutting-edge international coverage, and their reporter Roy Gutman actually won a Pulitzer for his work in Bosnia. He was one of the first to uncover the concentration camps there back 10, 15 years ago. And they, first they let go of their international staff, their Pulitzer Prize winning international staff, the early aughts. And then, a couple of years ago, they got rid of the city edition. So it's completely gutted, and the Village Voice, I mean, think what you want of about Nat Hentoff, but he was a longtime fixture at the Village Voice, and while a lot of what he wrote was problematic, a lot of his reportage on civil liberties issues was actually quite cutting edge. He's gone. They let go of him. He's been a fixture there since the very beginning, since the 1950s. They let go of him. The Christian Science Monitor has ceased publication, only available online now. And that was, a pretty good newspaper. Still is. Their online stuff is okay. But even, much of the online stuff, it's just, again, it's like, it's not reportage, it's blogging. And journalists just, cite other journalists and link to each other, and it's becoming more and more incestuous. So, my big fear is not even that, media is consolidated in fewer and fewer hands, and it's corporate controlled, and that it's, skewed towards the establishment and towards the right. Well, of course I'm going to say that because I'm a lefty. And all the righties out there, have got their own, places like Accuracy and Media and so on, where they complain that it's skewed too far to the left. But the more fundamental problem is it's just getting radically dumbed down and it's contracting. And there's, you know, there's a lot of gazillions and gazillions and gazillions of different websites online there. But all they are is for the – overwhelmingly, all they are is either their blogs, and they just give you a lot of snarky attitude and not a lot of information. And what information they do link to is from what the rest of them are, which is just, you know, a million different newspapers which just recycle the same wire copy from AP and Reuters. So there actually is not any greater abundance of information thanks to the so-called information revolution, I would argue. In fact, quite to the contrary.
Well, isn't it ironic that here we have an opportunity to have as much information as possible, as quickly as possible, and we have less information.
Exactly.
And we have less and less information. And it's not only big corporations squeezing everything out. It's as if having information has been something that's become, you know, we can have all this stuff on the internet, but it's all this information on the internet, but the idea of having actual news, actual reporting, actual something legitimate, something with integrity, is getting smaller and smaller.
Right. And the old ideal of a gum-shoeing reporter in the field is, you know, rapidly disappearing. And it's got really grave implications for
democracy.
Democracy, exactly the word I was going to say. You got it.
For democracy.
You got it.
Because a public that is, you know, as much as I dislike the New York Post, I don't want the New York Post to go away or Fox News, because I think that we need all points of view. We need WBAI. That's why everyone should send in their checks and to support WBAI, because it says in the Constitution we have freedom of the press, not except for anyone. We just have freedom of the press. And I think that we need spaces like BAI. We need radio stations like BAI that will continue to bring out another point of view, because that's the problem with the shrinking of newspapers, the shrinking of and the control of the media by huge corporations, is that everything starts to shrink. Okay, I'm going to speak into the microphone, Bill. Yes. Am I speaking into the microphone?
Yes, okay. I was pointing unsubtly towards the microphone to get Robert White.
He was
to
making a very vulgar gesture, pointing into the microphone. It was not a vulgar gesture.
All right, I should point out that it's 12:33 in the AM here on listener-supported, non-commercial, WBAI 99.5 FM. Here in New York City, and this is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, and my name is Bill Weinberg, and we're speaking with Robert Waddell, of freelance journalist of Virtual Barikua, among other places, talking about the sorry state of media and why it is so important to report to support the alternatives which are actually still available to us, such as WBAI. 212-209-2950 is the number to do exactly that. Now, Robert has got the ball rolling. He made the first donation tonight. It's a pledge of $25, which is the basic pledge to become a member of WBAI, which will give you the right to vote in the listener board elections and to be a part of the unfolding democratic process here at the Pacifica Network. If you want to pledge just $5 more, pledge $30, you get the special Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade musical compilation, which we offered, which we played excerpts from last week, Presidential Blues, which is our own extremely historically didactic compilation of American topical folk music on the themes of presidential and party politics going all the way back to 1864 and the re-election of Abraham Lincoln right on through to the debacle of George W. Bush, stopping immediately short of the Barack Obama phenomenon. And what we seem to be witnessing, and this is something I'd like to touch on next if we can bring the conversation back around to the political tip as opposed to haranguing the listeners to give up their money, apparent demise of the Reagan ideology and the neoliberal order, which we seem to have witnessed since the election of Obama. I'd like to talk about that a little bit and how it's playing out. But then also, if you, so that's $30 will get you that, our, the special Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade musical compilation CD. And then on the, Obama tip, a pledge of $50 will get you Barack Obama The Remix, produced by Peter Beauchamp of All Mixed Up. So, there's your choice. You can pledge either $25 for a basic membership, $30 for the Presidential Blues Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade musical compilation, or $50 for Barack Obama The Remix by Peter Beauchamp of All Mixed Up. So, right now the tally still stands at $25, but we need to keep it moving along. So, you know, we're going to get back to you in just a few minutes and explain to you exactly, because I understand that, you know, we're sort of coming back to the well more and more and more because the station is in financial crisis, quite frankly, just like everybody else is. But the difference is that I understand, you know, let 100 flowers bloom and all that. I think, as Robert Waddell does, that even Fox News and the New York Post should be around as much as we hate them. They should be around for us to contest and repudiate. But the thing is that we need our own voice to contest and repudiate them, and they are not in danger of disappearing in the economic downturn. They're going to ride it out. WBAI, on the other hand, depends on the listeners. We don't take advertising, okay? We depend on the listeners to be a different kind of voice, to be a voice of the community, to be a voice of the grassroots, to be a voice of the people, not to be a voice of corporate advertising and politics propaganda, politician propaganda, I should say. So it's incumbent upon you all to support it. And a certain number of you out there are members. If you're listening to the sound of my voice right now and you've already pledged sometime within the last year, I'm not asking you to pledge again. But there's a certain number of you out there who are listening to the sound of my voice who are not members. And you know who you are. And if you can afford $25, go to the phone and call 212-209-2950 and pledge that $25. And to me, the litmus test of whether you can afford $25 is whether you go to two movies a year. Because if you go to two movies a year, you spend $25 a year, a point I made last week. Between, you know, your subway fare and your popcorn and your movie tickets, that's $25 if you go to a movie twice a year. So if you've gone to a movie twice over the course of the last 12 months, you can afford $25. 212-209-2950. Let me throw an interesting analogy at you in terms of what's happening to media. Have you been following the global food crisis. We've seen food riots all over the world over the course of the past year. As you know, countries, you know, all over from, you know, Latin America, the Caribbean, Africa, even Europe. And particularly in Mexico, there's been a so-called tortilla crisis. And this is, you know, a direct result of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Because as part and parcel to the North American Free Trade Agreement, the trade barriers went down. You know, the tariffs went down on imports of corn from heavily subsidized agribusiness in the United States with big economies of scale and vast tracts of land under, you know, under the control of these giant corporate farms. Of course, the small producers, the campesinos, and Indians in Mexico, who traditionally helped the country be self-sufficient in corn, could not compete. And in addition to that, there were provisions of the Mexican Constitution, which were the fruit of the Mexican Revolution and the agrarian reform and the tradition of Emiliano Zapata, which were repealed in preparation for NAFTA in the early 1990s, which allowed for the communal lands of the peasants, the so-called ejidos, to be privatized and sold off to the highest bidder. And in fact, many of them were. And lots of peasants were pushed off of the land over the course of the past 15 years since NAFTA, which has contributed, of course, to lots of Mexican immigrants coming across the border into the U.S. And, of course, it isn't any coincidence that in these same years, We've seen, the emergence of the so-called Minutemen and this, you know, whole ugly backlash of xenophobia in this country and, you know, the border wall going up on the southwest frontier, which unfortunately Obama, for the moment at least, is continuing with. But meanwhile, with the price of oil spiking as a result of George Bush's military crusades in the Middle East over the course of the past year, there's been this big impetus to switch to so-called biofuels or agrofuels. And a lot of those, big farms out there in the U.S. Midwest, again, with big economies of scale and heavily subsidized by the government, have switched from corn to soybeans for biofuels. Or even if they're still growing corn, instead of selling that corn to Mexico, they're turning that corn into ethanol for biofuels. And as a consequence of this, Mexico, which is now, thanks to NAFTA, become completely dependent on U.S. corn imports, and its own traditional small producer sector has essentially been gutted, forced from the land, forced from its traditional niche in the economy. So what has this done in Mexico? It has sent the price of corn skyrocketing, and there have been food riots all over Mexico in this big so-called tortilla crisis. And I would argue that there's actually something fairly analogous which is going on in media globally right now, where, thanks to deregulation, over the course, particularly of the past 25 years since Reagan, there's been this tremendous consolidation of media in fewer and fewer hands, and more and more newspapers have been bought out by the big national chains, such as Newsday being a case in point, which 25 years ago was independent, owned by a local family out on Long Island, and then was sold to Times Mirror, and then was traded like a ball team to the Chicago Tribune. And I'm not even sure who owns it now, since I stopped paying attention to it since it was gutted. So what starts to happen now, when all these, small local newspapers have been bought out by the giants and everything has been consolidated into fewer and fewer hands, and, local news staff has been let go, and more and more, of the particularly the national and international reportage which these papers are running are, produced by instead of running something by the local reporter at Long Island Newsday, instead they'll be running something by the big national reporter at the LA Times, or just running wire copy. Then what starts to happen is that the national chains in the economic crunch find that they've got to cut back, and more of the local newspapers are either going under, disappearing from the world of print media and just being, put on the web, or just being utterly eviscerated and not even worth looking at anymore, because they're just, they're slim, they've hardly got any reportage at all, and what they have is just exactly the same reportage that every other paper in the country has got. And nothing original, nothing locally produced. And so essentially, our media has been homogenized and degraded. And the capitalist system has sort of pulled a bait and switch on us, so to speak. Much as, it did with corn in Mexico, it's done with media and information here in the United States and globally.
Well, whoever controls, if you control food, you can control people's lives, and if you can control information, you can control people's lives. And if you squeeze who owns what, who's in control of the food, who's in control of the oil, who's in control of the information, and you hold on to that, the people who are holding on to that can squeeze it And I do appreciate your very panoramic view of global issues, especially with but I think there's another issue in terms of global food and food riots in Mexico and immigration, which is a whole other thing. But I think that life in America and life in a global economy is being controlled by fewer and fewer people, and people are being squeezed. And in terms of media, you know, if only a few people have this information, and fewer and fewer people are being able to have access to that information. And the idea that in terms of immigration, when anyone speaks about immigration, they're not talking. As a lawyer I once spoke to says they're not talking about Swedish. The Swedes who are trying to come over. It's about Mexicans. It's about racism and about having Mexicans come into the United States. And it's very, Americans love salsa, they love Taco Bell, they love mariachi music, but they don't like Mexicans. They want Mexicans to do jobs that most Americans are not gonna do, for pay that most Americans are not gonna do. And Mexicans come here and they work really hard. They pay taxes. They have social security cards. They pay social security, and they've come in, and they are incredibly hardworking people, and they are they're very much dedicated, and they become part of the fabric of American life. And still, they're treated as second class citizens, even though they become part of American culture. Even though legally they don't have any, they have no standing, but they are part of the United States,
and increasingly a part of New York City,
and definitely increasing part of New York City.
And the Mexican population in the city is what, probably doubled in the past 10 years.
I would say there's at least 300,000 Mexicans in New York. They're about 800,000 Puerto Ricans, a little bit more Dominicans, and then Central Americans sort of spread over, in Queens, Chileans and Hondurans and other people who spread over all over the place. But they're Dominicans are a little bit more than Puerto Ricans, but definitely there are at least 300,000 Mexicans in New York.
More Dominicans than Puerto Ricans at this point.
At this point, just not that much, but a little bit more. Yeah, according to the census data. They're, at least.
Probably the Mexicans are the fastest growing Latino group in New York.
They probably are. Yeah. I think they are because they're definitely coming here. And a lot of the face, in the traditional Puerto Rican neighborhood, El Barrio, Spanish Harlem, between 125th Street and 103rd Street, which is Spanish Harlem, El Barrio, you see a lot of Mexicans. You also see it's a lot of gentrification going on there, which is another form of, people getting control and taking over and refurbishing, and reworking the world in their own image.
Well, we're hoping that maybe the silver lining on the economic downturn is going to be that perhaps it will slow down the wave of gentrification and super development, which has just been sort of a form of ethnic cleansing in New York City.
But I have to tell you something. I take issue with people from El Barrio, because folks in the Lower East Side have been very militant and very active, and they created coalitions, and they really have pushed back the gentrification. They haven't stopped it. But in El Barrio, nothing's happened.
Really?
People just let people come in and let the whole thing just sort of
the movement for justice in El Barrio, MJB. They're doing a lot of really good work up there.
Well, they need to work harder.
Yeah. Actually, we all need to work harder, believe me. And I don't know, to me, I sort of feel like the Lower East Side has become a lost cause. And it's just a few pockets of low-income folks and working-class folks and alternative culture which are left, but very smaller every year, it seems. It just feels like we've been totally cleansed on the Lower East Side. Anyway, on the subject of the Movement for Justice in El Barrio, there's a few announcements I wanted to get to. But I note that the tally still stands at $75, and we're already an hour into the show. So that's really, really disconcerting. 212-209-2950. Well, you know what I wanted to do? In addition to reading announcements, which should not take too long, and in addition to hearing what Robert Waddell has to say about the economic package, which Obama just signed, because you've been following it more closely than I have, and the conversation sort of come around to that, so I'd like to hear a little bit of what you have to say about that. What I would also really like to do is play more of the Al Najum folklore Debka, because it's absolutely irresistible stuff, and I know that you all would like to hear it. And usually, you know, we play a little bit more music when we get to 1 o'clock in the morning. But you know, I'm not playing any more of Al Najum folklore Debka until the tally gets up to 200. So we need to move the tally up to 200, which means that how many more people need to call in? Five more people need to call in and pledge $25 over the course of the next 10 minutes. And I don't think it's asking too much. Okay, so...
come on, my people from the Bronx. My people from the Bronx. I sent out a word. I sent out word through Facebook. I sent out word that I was going to be here. My people, you got to pledge.
Now, we understand that times are tight, but... we also understand that really if you stretch $25 out over the course of a year, and that's what we're asking, $25 for a year membership, it really isn't that much. And if you're, you know, if you go to two movies a year, you can afford it. If you imagine that you're going to go to the movies twice over the course of the next year, you can afford to give WBAI $25. And,
it amounts to almost 50 cents a week.
50 cents a week. Exactly. There you go. I was hoping somebody could do the math for me.
Approximately
50 cents a week. And, you know, I mean, we're making the point here that, it's, you know, part and parcel of the economic downturn is the way that, you know, media is radically contracting in this country right now. And there's less and less of it. And the whole, you know, homogenization and dumbing down of sources of information is it's just going at a really terrifying pace. It's been going on for a long time, but now it's just happening at a really terrifying pace. So, you know, it's more incumbent upon us than ever to keep alive the alternatives which are available to us, because believe me, you're really going to miss them when they're gone. And once again, those of you out there who are members, well, you don't have to, you know, pledge more than once a year. If you've already pledged over the course of a year, then, you know, you're off the hook. But those of you out there who are not members, well, you know, maybe, you know, you're on the fence and you sort of feel like, somebody else will do it. I don't have to do it. Well, look, we wouldn't be asking you to do it if we didn't really need your money, and the tally hasn't moved beyond $75, and we really need to go home with at least $500. We made $600 last week, so we want to make $500 this week, at least, okay? You know, there's a certain number of you out there, and I'll have to be a little bit harsh, okay? There's a certain number of you out there who have got little justifications to yourselves that you use for not becoming a member. And I have to say that that's really, it's disingenuous. If you listen to this radio station, you should be a member. And by definition, right now, if you can hear the sound of my voice, then you're listening to this radio station. So if you're not a member, then, you know, in a word, you're stealing. It's theft. All right? This is not something which, we do because... we're getting paid for it. You know, I'm not getting paid to be here tonight, and I am a member of WBAI. Robert Waddell is not getting paid to be here tonight, and he just paid $25 to become a member of WBAI. The government is not paying our bills. No corporations are paying our bills. We don't take any advertising, as you know. There's only one way that we survive, and that's from our listeners supporting us. It's the only way that we survive. Now, unfortunately, I note that the tally still isn't moving. 212-209-2950. Ah, a telephone call. Gee, thank you. Well, that's good. 212-209-2950 is the number. Please keep the calls coming. Now, I have to do a little bit of kvetching, I'm afraid, because last week, in addition to... the people, the wonderful people who called in and actually pledged 212-209-2950 and actually became a member of this radio station. There were also a certain number of you who thought that it was appropriate to make crank calls or to actually call in and explain why you're not pledging. Okay, 212-209-2950, finally the calls are starting to come in. Isn't it interesting that just as I sort of take out the whip, the calls start coming in? And I've only just drawn my whip, and now the whip comes down. Now I've got to be really, really harsh, just for a few minutes. Okay, there's one person out there who thinks that because there are sometimes some technical glitches on this radio show, that I don't know how to use the board, and therefore he's justified in not pledging. Well, that's absolute nonsense, okay? For starters, you know, I've got a few responses to this. For starters, if you don't want to hear minor glitches from time to time, if you want a sound which is absolutely sterile and seamless and soulless and slick, then listen to K-Rock, okay? Listen to commercial radio. Don't listen to WBAI. In other words, get lost. I don't want you to listen. Seriously. Secondly, you know, I listen to WNYC sometimes, and I hear plenty of glitches on WNYC. So, you know, if Lenny and Brian can get away with a little glitch here and there, I think that Bill Weinberg on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade can get away with a little glitch here and there. And finally, you know, if you are listening in spite of the glitches, then, you know, you're stealing. And that's the fact that we've got a little glitch here and there is not any justification for you not to pledge. You know, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, then you have a responsibility to pledge to WBAI to support what you listen to and to keep this voice on the air. And that's the bottom line, okay? And if you don't think so, if you think the fact that we've got an occasional glitch here and there entitles you to listen for free, then, well, you're wrong. And you are hereby officially excommunicated from the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade family. I don't want you to listen anymore. I don't want you to call in anymore. Get lost. Turn off the radio. Otherwise, call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge of $25 and become a member of WBAI. Simple as that. 212-209-2950. Uh-oh. As soon as I said turn off the radio, the call started coming in. Maybe everybody did. All right, well, I wasn't talking to everybody. I was just talking to that one caller out there who...
You deadbeats. You know who you are.
I wasn't even talking to all the deadbeats out there, because I understand that some people are on the fence and times are tight and they, you know, they feel like somebody else will do it. I was talking to the people out there who think that they've got some bogus, disingenuous excuse not to call in. I think that they can feel all right about not calling in because occasionally there's a little on-air glitch, which is an absolutely bogus, untenable, dishonest position. So you know who you are. Turn off the radio. Go away. For the rest of you who really do appreciate the show and are honest with yourselves, you know, I want you to look in the mirror. And if you're a listener to this radio station and you don't give and you think you have some kind of bogus excuse for not giving, I want you to look in the mirror and say to yourself, I'm a thief. Because that's what you are. Or I want you to look in the mirror and say, no, Weinberg's right. He's got a point. We really do want WBAI to stick around and to be around here for the long haul, to be around here for posterity, to be around at this historic moment when it seems like the whole Reagan agenda has finally been repealed. The capitalist system is going deep into crisis. Potentially, the whole center of gravity in America and in the world is shifting at least somewhat to the left. And the new, you know, avenues are opening up for resistance, even at a time of very, very great crisis. When, as we say, media is contracting. When, food and fuel are... In short supply, and there's finally a reckoning which is underway in terms of, you know, some basic issues about how society is set up. And while we nonetheless remain at war, in what I submit are wars for oil, and, you know, there have now been 4 airstrikes on our supposed ally, Pakistan, since the Obama administration has taken office, So we're living in a time of flux and contradiction. And if you want WBAI to be around to bring you the news and analysis that you depend on, it's really incumbent upon you to support it. 212-209-2950. You know who you are. If you're not already a member, this is your moment to step up to the plate. 212-209-2950. Now, I heard some calls coming in, and yet, at 1 o'clock in the morning, the tally still stands at $75. Maybe we've got a little bit of tally lag going on. I would like to hear what Robert Waddell has to say about the economic stimulus package, and I would like to hear a little bit more from the Alan Lejeune folklore Debka. But we're not going to do either of those things until the tally at least gets up above $100. So we just have a half an hour left to go. 212-209-2950. Please make a pledge. Please get us up at least above $100, because it's really, really going to be utterly heartbreaking and humiliating if we don't even get above $100. You know, that's really going to be very, very sad indeed. So please call 212-209-2950. I've got one more thing to say to some of the cranks who called in. I hope that wasn't cranks who were calling in just now. But last week we got some cranks who called in. We got some Pol Pot heads who called in and said that after the revolution I should be put up against the wall and shot, or words to that effect. Well, that's, I want you to know that that's a death threat. That's illegal. And if I wanted to, if I was the litigious sort, I could track you down. It wouldn't be that difficult, because the phone company would have records and find out who you are and press charges. So you should thank your lucky stars that I'm an anarchist and I'm not going to do that. So there, I just needed to get that off my chest and to lambast all of the cranks out there. But I also mean to give a real sincere and hearty thanks to those of you who are, in fact, calling in, 212-209-2950. Do keep the calls coming. I'll tell you what. It's 2 minutes after midnight. Why don't we hear a little bit, 2 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning. Why don't we hear a little bit more of the Alan Lejeune folklore Debka while I go back into the tally room and see if we have, in fact, got some tally lag going on. And if we do, then I'll come back and I'll read some names to thank those listeners who have put their shoulders to the wheel to keep WBAI in motion. And if in fact we don't have any tally lag and all the callers have been cranks, to tell you that I'm just going to, you know, go out here and jump off the Brooklyn Bridge when I at 1:30, because I can't go out of here, you know, with my head held high, not even breaking $100. That is just too humiliating. So it's up to you. 212-209-2950. I am going to assume that in fact we have tally lag, and assume that the listeners have earned a little bit more of the Alan Lejeune folklore Debka. So keep the calls coming while we hear a little bit more of this wonderful music, and then we'll go back to, in the just few minutes which will remain to us at this point, we'll go back to Robert Waddell and hear a little bit of what he has to say about the Barack Obama economic stimulus package. So if you want to keep this kind of radio, this wonderful music and insightful analysis on the air, you've got to do your part. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. خلي البارود يهل هلو يخليهم خلي البارود يهل هلو إلوني مدى خلي الكوفي يعلي ولو لحبيها
يوني سيلك يا إسلام النتشي هلا إنت وينو إسلام النتشي هلا يا إسلام
ومش بال النار ورجال العز رجالك يا ابو عمار على الراي برام الله ومش بال النار ورجال العز رجالك يا ابو عمار طلقة الأولى في حكاية مشوار طلقة الأولى في حكاية مشوار للحق نخلي العالي واطيغ للحق نخلي العالي واطيغ عن الكوفي علي ولو لحقيها وتعتاب وميجان وثامر فيها اللهم صل على النبي هلا بالشباب الضيوف القرايب واصحاب والنساء المرهب عراتي ناصر الفارس كم كم يا با كم كم مش نصم اروها اسمع 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 احنا التلي والوادي واحنا الثوار احنا الكوفي البيضة وروح الختيار احنا التلي والوادي واحنا الثوار الكوفي البيضة وروح الختيار جلال المغربية بكربة النار جلال المغربية بكربة النار شط البحر اللي بيافة بيحكي بيها موج البحر اللي بيافة بيحكي بيها عن الكوفي علي ولو لحبيها وتعتاب وميجان ثابت فيها هلا هلا يا اسلام الناتشي مرحبا هلا بالشباب وعراسي لآلي أطرش أحلى سلام يا هلا بيهم زرعنا البياراتين وزيتون وبدر القمح علينا بيدر ليمون زرعنا البياراتين وزيتون وبدر القمح علينا بيدر ليمون لجل ترابك يا أقصى هالروح تهون لجل ترابك يا أقصى هالروح تهون يوم العرك دروب النصر مضوي يوم العرك دروب النصر مضوي في علي ولو لحبيها ونعتاب وميجان وثامن
شيء
كسراوي مفيش عراسي يا ربيهم هلا بدار بدر هلا بدار عمر حبايبي الله تشوبي روحنا التلي والوادي واحنا الثوار احنا الكوفي البيضة وروح الختيار احنا التلي والوادي واحنا الثوار احنا الكوفي البيضة وروح الختيار دلال المغربية بنت الأحرار دلال المغربية بنت الأحرار وجه البحر اللي بيافة بيحكي بيها شط البحر اللي بيافة بيحكي بيها الكوفي علي ولو لحبيها غنى عتابة وميجانة وثامر فيها
يلا
صلوا على النبي يلا.
All right. Okay, those of you who want to know what the music is, once again, it's the Al Najum Folklore Debka, which is a Palestinian music and dance act based here in New York City. You can send an email at al_Najum, NUJOOM, at yahoo.com. That's how you can reach them. I'm not sure, you know, if you link to our site, if you check out our site, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade site, which is morc.info, as soon as I get home tonight, I will update the link to their YouTube video, which is utterly, utterly irresistible. So, there you go. That's that. So, that identifies the music. And now, let's see, the tally has actually moved to at least 200, so I feel considerably better. Let's give a big round of applause. First, let me read the names. To Karen Hoover of Manhattan, to Jesse Hewa, all right, Jesse, of also of Manhattan, it appears, and to Ralph Vega of Union, New Jersey, and also, lest we forget, to Donovan and the other stalwarts back in back in the tally room who are giving of their time to staff the telephones. So, a big, hearty round of applause for all of these heroic figures who are stepping up to the plate tonight. Yes! Right on! Yeah! It's people like you who keep WBAI in motion. People like you who make what we do around here possible. Okay? All of the great music that we play in the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, all of the incisive information and analysis that you get from this show and other shows on this radio station, all of the occasionally curmudgeonly, bitter, cantankerous, kvetching and dogmatic, shrill speechifying that you get on WBAI, which is all a part of the, process of dialogue, which is the purpose of this, not only of WBAI, but of the Pacifica Network, to get, controversial ideas out in the open and to hash them out and to knock them around back and forth and figure out where we as a community and as a peace movement stand. All of that is possible thanks to people like you who get on the phone and call 212-209-2950 and just pledge a minimum of $25 to make it all happen and to keep it all happening. You know what I'm saying? We only have 15 minutes left, so let's keep the calls coming at 212-209-2950 so that we can hear more of the Al Najum Folklore Debka, New York Palestinian music and dance. Once again, as soon as I get home tonight, I haven't had a chance to put in the entry for tonight's radio show yet, but I will as soon as I get home tonight. So either later tonight or tomorrow morning, just log on to morc.info and check out the entry for tonight's radio show, and I'll include the include the link to the Al Najum YouTube video, which actually shows them dancing at the Arab American Street Festival earlier this year, where I picked up their disc. I think I might even make a little cameo in that video, as a matter of fact. And we'll also hear a little bit more from Robert Waddell, of a freelance journalist, writes for Virtual Barikua, among other places. I'd like to hear very much his analysis of the Obama economic stimulus plan. But first, I'd like to see that tally move above $200 in the few minutes that we have left. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Can I hear that phone ringing? Somebody out there who is listening to the sound of my voice, who is not yet a member of WBAI, this is your big moment to step up to the plate and announcements. We forgot about announcements. Okay, we got to read announcements too. But first, can we get a call? Just one call. We still have so much more to get to tonight. We only have 15 minutes left. So let's just get one call so get that tally jacked up above $200. That's all we're asking for. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Robert, say something inspirational which will make somebody call in before we can move on to the remaining content which we have planned for the next 15 minutes.
Something inspirational?
Yes, I know. I'll put you on the spot.
Okay, great. I'll quote the Dalai Lama.
There you go.
Dalai Lama
That'll get all the Maoists out there angry at us, which is really important.
Good. two things people want. They want to avoid suffering, and everybody wants to be happy. So the only way to avoid suffering is to have information like we can get at WBAI. And to become happy is to continue to have information like you can get at WBAI. So I think it's very important to support WBAI because it adds to the voices. We need more voices in the media landscape, because this is how, you know, this is how a democracy functions. It's really, you know, it's not only chilling what's going on now, but it's also chilling. I mean, 40 years ago, there used to be hundreds of newspapers in New York City. People used to get their information. It wasn't all about.
Well, I don't know if there were hundreds in New York City.
Well, there were a lot of newspapers.
Now we're down to how many dailies in this town? I don't even know if we should include Newsday anymore.
I don't even know if we should include the Wall Street Journal anymore. But there used to be morning papers, afternoon papers.
So basically there's three, right? The Times and the two tabloids. Basically, there's three. If you don't include either the Wall Street Journal or Newsday, there's three. 40 years ago, there were how many? There must have been at least 10.
There were at least ten. And it's incredibly shrinking. And when you think of when newspapers shrink, information shrinks. And when
Absolutely.
Information shrinks, that means that what government is doing, what elected officials are doing, what people are doing behind our backs, when we should know what's going on, when we should have reporters out there really figuring out what's going on. About the stimulus package, I think it's really great for middle-class Americans. I think it's a terrific thing for Obama to have signed this. A lot of people who are this billion-dollar economic stimulus package, which is going to help people who are buying their first homes, who are sending their kids to college, people who are having trouble with their mortgages. I think we need to be watchful, and I think journalists like myself need to be watchful, because as much as I love Barack Obama, and I voted for Barack Obama, I have no problem talking about my politics, I still think he's still the president of the United States. And it's still that doesn't, and just because he's an African American doesn't mean that he's not he's responsible to, you know, to money. It's not about the color is not black or white. It becomes green. And the fact that it's the White House. It's what's important is money and who's in power and what's going on. That's why I know, speaking of your announcements, there is a huge rally that's going to take place on Wall Street, a people's rally that's going to happen on Wall Street, people who are, concerned about how the economy is going.
Wall Street, but where?
I'm not sure when, but I think there's an organizing meeting sometime this weekend. I heard the information on WBAI. There's something else going on in support of political prisoners that's
right.
happening
I'm gonna read
this,
that right now.
This Saturday. I just want to say this about the stimulus package, that yes, it's a good thing for middle-class people, but for poor people, there's not much that's happening in there. I mean, poor, we used to have, you can say what you want about, Lyndon Johnson, about the escalation of the Vietnam War, but there was a concerted effort in the Johnson administration, a war on poverty.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine that?
Nobody even talks about that in mainstream politics anymore. Now it's always, you know, helping the middle class. It's as if there aren't poor people in this country.
Exactly.
They don't even say working class. It's just middle class.
You know why? No one wants to say that their class exists in the United States, but class does exist, because if we live in the land of the free and the land of the plenty, that means we all supposed to have, which is BS. I won't get bleeped out for that. But we all know, because we don't want to talk about poor people, because poor people really need help. And in the stimulus package, there's the tuition tax credit is going to be increased, and also, you know, people who are who receive Social Security benefits, people who receive food stamps. But you know what? That's just supporting the status quo of people being poor and keeping them better, of fattening them up and keeping them more poor. I mean, there we have prison industrial complex, we have the military industrial complex, and we have the poverty industrial complex, which are human service or social service agencies, which are there to keep people poor, and their jobs is to service the community. Because let's say we got rid of welfare, all those people who work in the welfare offices, they'd have to go on welfare if we got rid of poverty. And I think that the stimulus package is great. I'm totally supportive of Barack Obama, but I think that he needs to, he's the president. He even said it. He's the president of all the United States, so he shouldn't forget families. He shouldn't forget the poor. Shouldn't forget children. Shouldn't forget education. Shouldn't forget we need socialized medicine in this country. And I'm a journalist, and I know I'm supposed to be impartial, but yes, I have an opinion.
I'm entitled to an opinion. Absolutely.
Because, one of my great heroes, Hunter S. Thompson, always had an opinion. So I'm like, or Norman Mailer, we need to.
Well, I'll tell you what nobody is talking about, which disturbs me the most, is that the airstrikes against Pakistan are continuing.
Yes, the airstrikes. But let me say also, the airstrikes, and more troops have gone into Afghanistan. But you know what's something that you touched on? All these agribusinesses. The reason that Barack Obama signed this bill in Denver is because part of this, if there are groups or businesses that go into helping the environment or saving the environment, so potentially these farmers who get subsidies for their corn, who are going to take their corn and turn it into ethanol, could potentially make more money from this bill because they'll say, oh, I'm going to make more ethanol and I'm going to make money to help the environment. So it's more welfare for the rich, more welfare for them. And another huge thing that's coming is the bailout of General Motors and bailout of the auto industry.
Hopefully it's going to be, what I would like to see, and I don't think it's necessarily impossible, is, a nationalization of Detroit and of the banks and so on. And again, as we've stated before, it sort of depends on how deeply the system goes into crisis, and we don't know if, there's any light at the end of this tunnel yet, or if we're just, still plunging downwards into darkness. And secondly, on how much, pressure there is from below, to move Obama to the left. It's going to be dependent on those two things. Whether this is going to be a completely empty promise or there really is going to be some serious fundamental change in the years to come, or probably it'll be somewhere in between. But in any event, we have to watch it very closely, and certainly we need WBAI to be around as a to keep a sharp eye on what's going on and to be a voice pushing things to the left and being a part of the multitude of voices in this country which are going to be hopefully helping to move things to the left in the years to come. So if you want to make sure that this happens, please do call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge, whatever you can. We're actually, a minimum of $25 will make you a member, but if you can only afford 10, hey, we'll take 10. Maybe we've got some tally lag going on, but I still don't see the tally moving above 200, so hopefully somebody will call. I've got two announcements to read. Let's see, the one that you just mentioned on Saturday, February 21st, at 6:30 p.m. at 1199, which is, of course, at 43rd Street, isn't it? Just off
43rd Street, between 8th and 9th.
Exactly.
It's the...
right. 310 West 43rd Street, the MLK Labor Center, exactly. 310 West 43rd Street between 8th and 9th, the Puerto Rican Freedom Project. Artists come together to aid Puerto Rican political prisoners and their families. There's going to be music and spoken word, and it looks like it's going to be really interesting and certainly an issue which needs far greater exposure. So one of the few places where you can hear about this sort of thing is on WBAI, right? Yeah. So once again, mm-hmm. That's going to be this coming Saturday, February 21st, 6:30 p.m. at the MLK Labor Center, 310 West 43rd Street. Or if you want more information, you can check out the Puerto Rican Freedom Project online at prfreedomproject.org. That's prfreedomproject.org. And on the Bronx tip, Our good friends at La Peña del Bronx, this Thursday, February 19th, are going to be hosting an event entitled Oaxaca, A Story of Struggle and Resistance, a political cultural benefit for Juan Manuel Martinez, a political prisoner from Oaxaca. So let's see, what is this going to be? A film and presentation speakers, an update on the situation in Oaxaca, and it's going to be a benefit for political prisoners once again, this time in Mexico. That's going to be happening at La Peña del Bronx, particularly for all you Bronx people. So that's at 478 Austin Place. You know where that is, Robert?
It's near Southern Boulevard, right, it's close to Hunts Point. No, it's close to, it's in between Hunts Point and the hub in the Bronx. It's there, it's
apparently you take the 6 train to 149th Street.
Right, 149th Street, I believe, and Southern Boulevard. There also is another event, March the 7th, Saturday, March the 7th in the afternoon. It's called Hip Hop Kitchen 2. It's a celebration of hip hop women for Women's History Month. It's a free event at Austos Community College, 149th Street in the Grand Concourse. And it's a very important event. It's a second annual event, Women in Hip Hop. I think that, both these events, all of these events are very important. And you wouldn't find it anywhere else.
Except
all these
guys,
the BAI. You know, you find it on the web, but this is where you,
this is where you're going to hear it on the airwaves. Exactly.
The People's Radio Station.
So once again, that's going to be Thursday, February 19th at La Peña del Bronx, the Oaxaca event at 478 Austin Place, at 8 p.m. That's when I forgot to give the time, 8 p.m. So, well, Robert, you know, I'd like very much, on a future occasion to, get you back on these airways to talk more about the Bronx and, the various, ecological and housing struggles and so on, which are underway in the Bronx.
And I would love to be
to get your hip-hop friends from Rebel Diaz on. Maybe we'll make their CD the premium, our next fun drive.
That would be great. I think they'd enjoy that very much.
If we could try to make that happen.
Thank you very much for having me on. And everybody, support WBAI.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you, Robert Waddell, for being here to help me with this odious task of shaking down listeners for money and to helping make it, I hope, informative and worthwhile.
No, you're not shaking them down. That people should be doing this. You're right. That this is important. This is important for all of us. And you're not shaking down anybody. Everybody should support.
212-209-2950. I assume that the tally is above 200 and we just have tally lag. But I sure would like to hear a flurry of calls as we go out in the next 2 minutes. We'll hear a little bit more of the Al Najum folklore Debka. Once again, thank you so much, freelance journalist Robert Waddell, for joining us, and we'll get you back on these airwaves in the weeks to come.
Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate it, and thank you to BAI. And please, everybody, support WBAI. We need more voices like BAI. We need more great media. We need more programming like this, because if without BAI, we won't get we won't get a panorama. We'll just get a very narrow view of what people want us to know.
Exactly. It'll be sterile and homogenized airwaves.
And think of George Orwell. Just think of George Orwell.
One of my favorite writers. So glad you invoked him. All right. Do stay tuned for Weaponry with Tom Whisker coming up next. Join us next week on Listener Supported, Non-Commercial, WBAI. We're going to go out more with some more of Al Najum Folklore Debka and Salam Aleikum.
Remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.